faint. Most of you who come regularly know that I have, if I may say so, quite a fund of stories illustrating various aspects of the Dharma. Some of you may recollect that on more than one occasion I have told the story about the Japanese would-be practitioner of Zen meditation who went to see the great Zen master, the Roshi. Probably some of you are remembering already what this story is. Just to remind you of it briefly, it was a wet day, a rainy day. The aspirant left his umbrella outside the door. And some of you are remembering already. And the master asked him which side of the door he'd left it. So he couldn't remember, that's the story. So the master said, well, if you can't even practice mindfulness, you're not ready for meditation. So he sent him away. That's the sort of thing Zen masters sometimes do. So I'm going to begin this evening by posing a similar question to you. Now, you haven't come here for meditation, not today anyway. You've come to hear a lecture. But as you enter the Vihara gate, as you know, there are some trees. Now I wonder if you can remember whether those trees are on the left-hand side or the right-hand side. I don't know whether anyone is going to volunteer an answer or whether you're all going to be as shy as you usually are. The left-hand side or right-hand side?
Depends.
Walk in, front grade. Not in the Zen way, straight, direct. Well, left-hand side, of course, yes, one sensible woman. Left-hand side. So I'm sure you must have noticed them this week and last week and probably the week before, at least half consciously. So I'm going to ask you whether you notice anything different today as compared with what you noticed about those trees the last week or the week before. Was anyone sufficiently mindful to notice any difference?
Leaves have come down.
Leaves have come down, yes. One gentleman nearly enlightened. Yes. Yes. Leaves have come down. I'm not being esoteric, I'm not trying to catch you out, I only want a straightforward answer to a straightforward question. So the leaves have practically all come down. I'm not going to suggest that someone comes along one afternoon and sweeps them up. It's not that. But the point I want to make is, just by way of introduction as it were, is that winter is approaching. Rather a truism, but it seems that winter is approaching. And when winter comes, various changes take place. One of them is, of course, that we get snow. I haven't seen snow for about 20 years until last year because I was in India all this time. It's quite a nice change to see it. And when one gets snow, of course, one can make a snowball. Now, when you made a snowball, as you know probably, going back to your younger days, even though it's very small to begin with, you can go on rolling it and rolling it and rolling it over the ground, and it gets bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger. Until it's so big, so heavy, that you can't roll it over anymore, because you just can't push it. You haven't got enough strength, enough energy. So you have to stop. Or perhaps with a tremendous effort, you can just roll it over once more. Now, that's the sort of position that I find myself in today, something like that. Now, as you know, this is a series of 5 talks on Zen. And as you probably noticed, if not actually remarked on it, at the beginning of every talk, I usually summarize the previous talk. Recapitulate. So this, one might say, is like rolling the snowball. So every week, with each succeeding talk, the snowball, as it were, gets bigger and bigger and bigger. So today we come to the fifth and last talk, which means that we've had four talks already. So if I begin today by summarizing all these previous talks, then the whole lecture itself, the whole talk itself today, will consist of just that summary of the previous talks. In other words, the snowball has by this time got so big and heavy, I just can't roll it over anymore. So, what should one do? Well, I think that what one should do is to give the snowball just one final push, as it were, with a great effort, just roll it over once more. In other words, I'll begin by giving a very rapid, what one might call, summary of the summaries. Not even a summary. A summary of the summaries, and then go straight into today's subject. You know, of course, that we're trying to understand what is the distinctive nature of Zen with the help of a traditional verse. It's a verse which has been repeated by now so many times that you should know it by heart. In case you don't, or in case there are any newcomers, I'll recite it or read it. I should say recite because I know it by heart myself by this time. Just once more. The verse says, summarizing Zen itself and its distinctive features, its distinctive nature, a special transmission outside the scriptures. No dependence upon words and letters. Direct pointing to the heart or the mind of man. Seeing into one's own nature or one's own mind and realizing Buddhahood. As you know, we're studying one line each week. We saw in the first place that Zen is concerned with the transmission, not just of a scriptural tradition, but of the living spirit of Buddhism, from heart to heart, from mind to mind, of the teacher and disciple. And in so doing, it doesn't allow us for 1 minute even to depend on second-hand knowledge. Knowledge derived from words and letters, thinking mistakenly that this is the real thing, the real knowledge. Instead, it points to the mind itself and asks us to depend directly on the mind. That's what we've learned so far about Zen from this traditional verse.